As I was preparing for this, I was thinking back of all that has happened to me personally since the spring of 2004, when I first connected with Nate, and I first heard the call of the wild, the voice, the still small voice calling you, drop everything and follow me. And started to lead in a new direction, and I ended up here. And it's been a real learning curve, tremendous learning experience, and I'm sure many of you can relate to that. I personally was like a guy that decided to go to a movie. This is because of my background, my past training, and all that I learned or thought I learned before I got here. I was like a guy that decided to go to a movie and arrived out of breath and late just as the intermission was ending and the second half of the movie was beginning. So I was watching what was going on, but I didn't really know how it got to this point. And I didn't know what the people were really doing or what motivated them. When I started to observe, that was because of the emphasis that I had been programmed with which to view the scriptures. And many of you have the same experience. Some of you come from denominationalism. Some of you come from replacement theology. Some of you come from dispensationalism, rigid dispensationalism. I came from, I don't even know what the kind of mongrel title to put on it, but I sure missed a whole bunch when I didn't see the first part of the movie. I didn't quite know what to make of it. Now, over the years, I've learned a few things, I've seen a lot, I've listened, I've observed, and I realize that there's a lot of people that somehow or another didn't see the whole movie. There are a lot of Jewish people that only go to the first half, and then when the intermission comes, they think it's over and they leave and they don't see the end. There's a lot of Christian people, like me, that come in after the intermission and don't see the beginning. So they know Jesus, or at least the idea they have of him, but they don't know the Father whose image and likeness Jesus is. So that's a problem. And the other people know the Father, but they don't know his image and likeness and what he sent his living word to do. So there's a lot of people that only have a part of it, a lot of us. And so it's a struggle. One of the things that happens in that case, no matter which group you're part of, is you really don't have a clear understanding of God's awesome nature and perfection. We don't have an understanding of the perfection of his and the all-sufficiency and comprehensiveness of his creation. It's perfect. It was perfect from the first instant. Because God is perfect. And he does everything right the first time. Perfection never has to change. There's nowhere for it to get to. It's already there. And so Genesis is just packed with that revelation of God's fullness, and everything that he does is perfect. We zip through Genesis so quickly that we miss that. And we also miss the fact that when you start to learn God's nature, then you... When you start to know God as he's revealing himself, you get to know what we are because we were made to be his image and likeness. But very few people identify with that. You know what we identify with? We who were born after the fall, we were who were conceived in the state of sin, corruption, and fallenness. We who inherited a very broken, wounded, sin-corrupted nature, you know what we identify with? We identify with everything that happened to us after we were born. We identify with this fallen world. We identify with some ethnic group. We identify with some culture. We identify with what was done to us or what was not done for us. We identify with what we did after we were born. So we're very worldly in our thinking, even when we become religious. We don't know who we really are. If we have a false identity paradigm, unfortunately, no matter what it is, even if it's crazy and terribly wrong, we're going to unconsciously follow it and live it out and act it out. What we believe we are, we do. And if it's wrong, even after we say we get saved, that's like trying to go through New York City with a map of Atlantis.
That's why I had trouble getting
home. You're always going to be lost. Because the map you're following does not conform to the actual reality that you have to navigate through. Does that make sense? So it's really good to have a full understanding of the entire gamut of Scripture, to see the whole movie from the time the curtain goes up for the first time up until the time it goes down. Then, you understand many things that a lot of people in this world do not understand. And so with that as a sort of a little groundwork and background, let me share with you what I think the Lord has been giving me to share today concerning who are you? Who are we? Who is your very worst enemy? Who is the person that you hold most in contempt? Who are we? Why are we made? What are we made for? What does image and likeness mean? I'll start with some scripture, which is always good. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Let's just let this sink in. This is an explanation of Genesis 1:26, when God says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." In Genesis, we see that God does and says everything and reveals everything through his living word. And his living word is his perfect image and likeness. And the only way we can connect with the Father is through his word. So we have to become the image and likeness of the word in order to be the image and likeness of the Father. So the word, right in the beginning, Genesis 1, he begins to be revealed as the pattern that the Holy Spirit always has in mind and is always following when he's dealing with each one of us. He is always, no matter what's happening, no matter where we're at or what's going on, the Holy Spirit is here working in us both to will and to do according to God's good pleasure and purpose, to follow and fulfill and perfect that pattern in us. So John the Apostle says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us. See, world, worldliness, no connection between what God is doing with the people that believe him and receive what he gives and those that do not. Those that maybe don't even go to come to the movie. Or those that left so early, they don't know what it's all about. Or those that come so late, they don't know what it's about. The world does not know us because it did not know him. You can only know him through his word. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it was not appeared as yet what we will be. It has not appeared yet what we will be. But it's nice to know what that is and where we're headed and what the Holy Spirit is here doing every moment of our life on this earth, no matter what we have to go through. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. Like who? Like the living Word of God, but not as Yeshua of Nazareth, as the risen Messiah, the Lord of glory, who is seated at the right hand of God, like him. How many people on this earth identify with that? Most people on earth identify with the names that we received on earth. Names like stupid, doesn't fit in, is never good enough, born to lose, poster boy victim, wrong color, wrong religion, wrong last name, perpetual screw-up. Those are the names that we, with our worldly brains and minds, identify with. And that makes us misunderstand what little bit of the movie we do see. And we're always, because of that false perspective and those lies that we believe, and because of our own naive misunderstanding, get in the way of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do as he lives and works in us and tries to reconfigure us both to will and to do in a way that fulfills God's good purpose, which is to conform you to the image of his Son, the risen, glorified Son, to form the risen Messiah in you so that he can reveal and glorify him through you. We only learn that in God's Word. You don't learn it on CNN. You don't see it in the movies. You don't read it in the magazines or newspapers. You don't hear it in locker rooms or sales meetings. You only hear it from God's Word. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, conforming to that pattern who is Christ or Messiah, the image and likeness of the Father. Well, that sure is different than professional victim and loser, isn't it? It sure is different than abuse victim. It sure is different than can't fit in. God is seeing to it by the power of His Holy Spirit and the authority of His Word that you do fit in. But you know what? Here's the kicker. Here's what you miss. He uses all the bad things, or what we call bad things, that happen to us. He uses our problems. He uses the nasty things other people do to us. He uses our bosses and our spouses and our families. He uses our failures, our stupidity, our blunders. He uses all of that as raw material to crucify all that is in us from this world that gets in the way of that destiny, and to strip it off of us so that we stop identifying with it and putting our faith in it and obsessing over it and being its victim and its prisoner for the rest of our lives. He's there nailing it, blowtorching it, reaming it out, cutting it off. And He uses all that stuff that we pray to be delivered from to do it. Not because He's mad at us. Not because He likes to pull the wings off of flies. Because He is never, never doing anything else but focusing on reconfiguring and reformatting each one of us into the image and likeness of the risen Messiah. What incredible value He puts on every human being He has created without exception. What an no wonder He was willing to pay that incredible, infinite price to redeem us. Every one of us. There are no exceptions. No matter what human being you look at or consider, even if it's your worst enemy, they are included in this. And when you understand what God is revealing in Genesis, then you say, when you get to Luke chapter 6, when Yeshua says, "But I say to those of you that hear me, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you." You say, yeah, that makes sense now. No wonder. Look at what a human being is. Don't look at what the powers of darkness have done to us. Don't look at what the fall did to us. That is not who we are. That is not what we were meant to be. That is not our destiny. The name that we picked up here is not our real name. God isn't here to change your name. He's here to restore your real name to you that you didn't know you had in eternity before the foundation of the world. When you have the right identity pattern, boy, does the stuff that come out of you look different. But if you have the wrong identity pattern, a worldly identity pattern, you're in for a tough time. You're going to stagger and stumble. God's going to keep you going, but it could have been so much better if you'd only knew the whole movie. So let's look at some more of what God has revealed to us about who we are. Romans 8, starting with verse 28. And we, in light of all the crummy things that happen, the things that we have to put up with, there are so many of our dear beloved ones that are missing every week because they've got huge problems that they're trying to struggle with and deal with. They got illnesses, they got all sorts of stuff. Just seems like we can't ever get together completely because something's always something. Many are not here today because of problems, big time. See? But it says here, and we know that God causes all things, even all that stuff, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? To reconfigure and reforge us into the image and likeness of His risen, glorified Son. And He's using all this stuff as raw material. Boy, it really helps to know that when you're going through it. If you don't know that and you go through the gauntlet of disappointment and the gauntlet of pain and the gauntlet of helplessness and the gauntlet of, you know, the gauntlet we're going through, the pressure will eventually cause us to cave in because we'll have no hope. But if we understand what is happening and we understand what God is doing and we understand that He's restoring to us all that He, the perfection that He originally created, that the fall took away from us, we have hope, a sure and certain hope. And we can understand what's going on and why God is using it for His good purposes. And we can say, yes. We don't just go kicking and screaming and digging in our heels. We go with Him instead of fighting against Him. When we understand how much God loves us and values and treasures us, and He's not going to let anything get in the way of our complete and total restoration. Tikkun. That's the word. Restoration. We've been robbed. He's here to give it back to us. We've been wounded and mangled. He's here to heal us. Not only that, give us a brand new body, because this one's really wearing out. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be eternal. So all of this temporary stuff, it's not going to be around much longer. Get used to it. Deal with it. But keep your eye on where we're headed. And understand what a human being is, what their value is, what they are in the eyes of God. Every one of them, without exception. And then you'll get an idea of how worldly we've become in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our perspectives, how much worldly wiring we got in here that's He needs to rip out and replace, so we can understand and quit bucking against the goad. So when we understand that it's not just nice, meek, humble, victimized Yeshua of Nazareth that we're being conformed to, that's not it. It's the one that the Apostle John saw in Revelation 1. The one who knew Him better than anybody was almost killed by getting a glimpse of the way He is now. He said, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, and when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters." In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. That sounds like totally blown away, right? Just like Isaiah in chapter 6 when he saw him, totally blown away. Totally exposed like a cockroach. What he was compared to what he was. But that's where we're going. So don't identify with where we is. Identify with where he is. That's the pattern. That's the destination. That's the goal. That's the way we're going to look. That's how we're going to be with him. Now maybe we can understand a little better what it's the beginning of the movie was saying. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Boy, I bet that was a perfect blessing given by this perfect being. I bet that blessing contains everything, past, present, and future, they're ever going to need to finish the race. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, etc., etc. The whole earth. Administrators, co-administrators with God's living word. Right there in Genesis. That sounds just like Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. See the perfection and the all-sufficient? It's all there, just like it said in Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Genesis 2, 1 to 3 says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Ephesians says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah, just as he chose us. He chose us before creation. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, just like his son. Holy and blameless before the Father. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons, through Yeshua the Messiah to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. See, that's saying we already have it. Sometimes it don't look like it. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes we don't even feel like we're saved when we really blow it, doesn't it? But God works all things for good, even that, to those who love him. See, so when we're going through that in the workshop, so to speak, when we're getting the blowtorch treatment and the sandblasting and all that stuff from all the stuff we got to go through, God is making us into something brand new for a very, very good purpose. We're going to be excited about it for all eternity. It's never going to go away. It's going to be perfect. That's who you are. Every single one. That's who we are. So God's got to deal with our worldliness. We're going to have to stop putting our faith in all the things that are false that we trust in and believe in and follow. He's going to have to set us free from our slavery to stuff that comes from this rotten, messed up world so that we can be refitted and prepared and aligned with where we're headed. Israel was chosen to be the model for all the other nations of the world, all the other family groups. Israel is the model. But for each individual human, Yeshua is the model. Jew and Gentile model. The living Word of God made flesh. He, the risen Lord, the glorious one, the awesome one, the one we can't even imagine right now. He's the one we're going to be made to be just like. So through Isaiah, God says for Israel, even look at all the problems Israel goes through. Huh? There's no end to it. On and on and on, century after century. There's always something. God is doing that to get his people ready. He says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said for you, forsaken. Nor to your land will it any longer be said desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her. And your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. So that's what they got. That's where they're headed. Then the pattern, Yeshua, the risen Messiah, says to the individuals in Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes the blowtorch and all of the chainsaw and everything else that God's going to use to effect the transition. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Your real name, your eternally given name, your real identity, your real destiny and purpose. In exchange for that fake, counterfeit, cheap thing that was a lie from the start that you believed and followed and became a slave to. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world and all those ideas you got from it and false beliefs. nor the things in the world. They're here today and gone tomorrow. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. See, pride is an inability to accept reality the way it really is, the way God created it to be. But so is toxic shame. Yes. You can be toxically inflated or toxically deflated. Either way, it's worldliness. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So toxic shame and victim mentality and puffed up egos equal worldliness. All of the stuff we're going through is meant to take every speck of that out of us in exchange for what has always eternally been ours in God's mind and heart. Revelation 3, 21 to 22. Here's that word overcome again. I guess, you know, the closer we get to the last days, the more God's going to have to turn up the heat and the pressure on his tools to make sure we're ready to cross the finish line. So it's going to get more intense. And to those people, he says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Identical, the same. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Beloved, if we follow that identity pattern, we're not going to be a bunch of lame excuses for what is called a Christian. Well, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. The righteousness of the risen Lord himself will light us up and shine out from us, and everyone will know that he is the Lord when he makes himself holy through us before their eyes. This is not a game. This is for real. And that's why we have to go through boot camp. He's got to get us ready. And everything in us that gets in the way, whether we're aware of it or not, he knows and he's going to deal with it. Glory to God. Glory to his name. Thank you, Father, for loving and valuing us that much. And so, I'll just leave you with one more scripture. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died to that. When Messiah died, you died. When he rose, you rose. When he comes back, so will you. For you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. And when Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So the whole deal is, believe it. And let go of what you've been catering to all your life, the false identity, and receive what Father gives us. And then let the Holy Spirit do whatever he's got to do in this demon-possessed world to make sure that we become it. Receive it, believe it, become it. In Yeshua's name, amen.